Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Thanks, Kate. And now I'm delighted to welcome back to the show one of the great Irish actresses and comedians, Rosalind Linehan. How are you?
I'm grand to be here in this very new, very beautiful building. I wish you could see it on television.
Well, we have plenty cameras in here, so people inevitably
yeah,
be able to see us at some stage.
It's very beautiful, but I miss the old place badly. Do you?
Jeez, everyone's asking me tricky questions today. No, I'm very happy with our lovely new studio. And we try not to lose any of the soul and intensity that you could get in a conversation
down in the other dark room.
Well, yeah,
we're sitting so close together now.
You could
lure me in. If
people
could see us, yeah.
Now, you're back on the stage. Before we get to that, let's catch up. Because you and I spoke a bit over the pandemic. And I think it did for a lot of people. It had knocked you off course a bit. Did you bounce back?
Well, I've always bounced, I suppose. But what happened, when I talked to you, we were in the little, what I'd call a sliver. Do you remember? There was a little sliver when it went away for 2 days.
Yeah,
And then everybody was bold and out drinking and it came back again for Christmas.
Yeah.
So it was just during that little sliver when I was feeling fairly frisky.
And
feeling frisky again now, I have to
say. You got your frisk back, yeah?
I got the frisk back. Remember Ender got his mojo.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'd say your mojo is unputdownable. I'd say your bounce back ability now is good. Do you still swim in the sea?
Yes, I was going to say that we do. I've never seen you, although you're known as the body at Sea Point.
Yes,
then there's you and me and Carrie Crowley, and then the diamond in the crown, Cillian Murphy, comes down from time to time and upsets everybody.
I think Carrie Crowley is now the diamond in the crown. She's now Hollywood. Royalty.
But he lives up in Monkstown and he swims in Sea Point.
And do you know what? He's a very private person, so
he can never go back there again.
There's enough people going out there now. This is getting far too cozy. Let's interview you. So you're back on stage in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. The theatre names are a bit different now to when you were in your heyday. So the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, it's the best exotic marigold hotel. It's set in India. What's it about for people who don't know?
Well, it's about people who are mature, I think we'll call it. We don't say elderly around here. No. Mature people at getting a chance of a new bit of fun in their lives, really, and they all go off. And
listen, this is the role you were born to play.
Yeah. Well, I suppose so, but yes, I'd rather go to Donegal than India.
Really? Yeah. I'd say.
But that's just part of my publicity for Donegal. I get money for that.
Okay.
Yeah, Donegal.
How did the role come up?
It just came up out of the blue. And obviously the lady who was playing it, and I went over to see her and she was blinking marvellous, which was a bit daunting.
That was a mistake,
and this is the Maggie Smith bit in the film. And yes, grumpy but kind-hearted, you know, just me, really.
So you kind of are our dame, really, aren't you? I don't mean panto dame. I mean the kind of dame Maggie Smith.
Would you refuse it? Like girl yesterday.
So you're just playing on the Dublin leg of it.
I'm just playing this week because she was unavailable this week, and they came to me about last November. And I was a bit anxious. The family said, get her out of the house. Get her out of the house quickly.
So did you get, when you went over, did you get a bit of a rehearsal with them or anything?
Not much, no. I'm rehearsing the next 3 days now here with a director. But I've learned it.
But not with the cast?
No, I'm not getting that.
Okay.
So it's very, what's the word they use now? Challenging?
Yes.
Yeah, very challenging.
Okay.
So it's a beautiful set, actually. So it's a question of when I go on, and they can pitchfork me on, and they and they can also. I met the cast, and they were saying they had other replacements. And what you do is, like I say to you, my line is sort of, "Where's the cabbage?" You see?
Okay.
And I've forgotten the line, so they say, "What was the vegetable you were talking about?"
Right. So there's a support structure there. They'll come halfway to meet you on anything. Is this the first time you've done ensemble work for a while now?
Yes. What did I do? Did I do anything? Now, the last thing that I had my photograph taken in an ensemble was for, and I was so sorry we didn't do it, just before COVID, the photo shoot was on for Juno and the Peacock.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and never happened.
And it never happened. Yeah. Just a week later it arrived in. So that was death to everything, really.
Yeah. I'd say the camaraderie is great in those ensemble situations, is it? Like, I mean, I was only kind of, you know, a bit of dramatic in college, like, but kind of intense relationships would bloom very quickly, and you know, everyone would bond furiously, and then
unless there's a bit of a row.
Okay, right. I was obviously only in very happy productions.
Well, I mean, I was the longest I was ever in an ensemble, of course, was Dancing at Lunasa, which, very funny, I had very strange feelings about in the last fortnight, because it has just opened to raves in London in the National Theatre, which is where we opened 30 something years ago.
Yeah.
And I kind of had this strange mixture of feelings. First of all, I was delighted for Brian Friel. And then I was, oh, I don't want him to do it. I don't want her to do my part. But that's Justine Mitchell, who I really like. That's okay. If I didn't like her, I'd be going,
Still, it must be hard.
Sculptures in the snow, they call us, if you're going to be pretentious, you see.
Really?
Once it's gone, it's gone. Like Homestore and more.
Yeah. Come here. The Bord Gáis is a big theatre to be.
It is. That was my big temptation, because it's probably the only place apart from the big O3 that I haven't been in. And it holds, I think, over 2,000. And the only place I've acted in a bigger place than that was in New York. The New York City Centre. I did Juno and the Peacock, a musical of that. And it holds 3,000.
Wow. So it'll be daunting, will it?
It'll be daunting and exciting.
Yeah.
It's the thing that
always got
me.
Nervous, didn't you?
I get nervous. Well, everybody. You must get nervous. I'm sure you're going to be cross over
nerves
your coffee at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Nerves of steel.
Never.
Yeah. So you'd still get healthy nerves, is it?
Yes, I do. Of course, I think it's necessary.
And how do they manifest? Okay, actually, no. Move on. Right, okay.
We won't go there.
Okay.
There are cures for that.
I gather this might be...
You shouldn't snort. My mother, if she was alive, would kill me for snorting.
Funny how her voice is still in your head, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's still snorting on the radio. I gather this might be your last play.
Well, you see, it's funny. I did The Dead in the Abbey in 2009. And for that, they decided to bring the grandchildren, because it's probably Granny's last show.
All right, yeah.
And that was 2009. So you never really know. I wouldn't do a theatre again. I couldn't. I couldn't do 8 performances a week now. I'm too lazy.
Yeah.
This is all right. This is just 1 week.
Okay.
But to do a run, like we did 2 years with Dancing at Lunasa. Between the jigs and the reels.
Yeah.
You know, and I was 54 then, and I was actually too old for the part, which was gas, that I got the part by mistake.
Really, yeah?
Yeah.
How old were you playing?
I should have been playing about 40 at most.
Fair play.
Yeah.
54 is the new 40 anyway.
Tis new.
Actually, 53 is the new 40, I like to say. Does it give you... I don't want to get you on maudlin now or anything, but... Is there an ending, like, if you think this might be the last time, do those endings start happening, the last time you might do something? Does that get kind of...
No, because I have a kind of... No, I don't think so. You have to try and tell the truth to Brendan. It's difficult just on the spur of the moment to answer something like... I don't feel that, no.
Yeah.
No, and I feel I did an animation just before COVID. And it hasn't come here yet, but that was very interesting to me, because I loved it. And it's something that just put me on a chair anywhere in the middle of a desert and I could do animation.
This is a greyhound of a girl. It's based on a Roddy Doyle novel, and Brendan Gleeson and Sharon Horgan as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So that could be the next career now, a bit of voice work.
And also I keep on trying to write songs at home, but I haven't got a lyricist anymore.
Do you keep going,
I do. I keep thinking I'm going to write a love song that everybody will sing long after I'm dead.
And have you got there yet?
No, I haven't got a lyricist anymore. My fella went off on me 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was very bold of him.
Yeah.
So I try to lift up little pieces I read or poems or anything, and things that would be starters of a love song.
So that's the project.
Yeah.
So you still miss Fergus, your lyricist,
I miss writing the songs.
Him still.
But of course I do, morning, noon and night.
Really,
especially all sorts of things, like the Irish Times comes in on Monday.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. It's always, this was a typical thing now.
Okay. That's
Monday morning was the only reason I got to I didn't have to tear up the Irish Times, because the sports, he was quite happy to go away with the sports.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I have to tear my bits out, and then I'd be given out for tearing the paper and all that sort of thing. You miss those sort of, they're funny things, but you keep missing them.
Yeah, yeah.
And every morning, every day.
Really?
Every day. You don't leave that one behind.
Yeah.
And you see, we met when we were 17. You know, it's a long time.
Yeah, and I suppose it's very intense as well if you're working together and also lovers and
well, that
and
was the best time. We did
it,
two musicals fully together, and then I wrote literally 100, you wouldn't call them songs really, but tunes to lyrics, funny ones.
Yeah.
And that was the happiest time of my life, I think, when we were both doing that. I had a piano in the sitting room and a piano in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And he'd be upstairs in the study, and he'd come down with a lyric, and I'd say, "That's a bit of rubbish, isn't it? Can we go back up and do that again?" And then he'd say he didn't like that tune, and then up and down and round and about, we would get a song together.
Yeah. Did you know at the time was the happiest time of your life?
Yes, I did.
You did. Isn't that a great gift?
I did know that.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think sometimes we don't realise it when things are happening, that these are the good old days. Like,
yeah, and we were both admiring what we did. Do you know what I mean? That was the great thing. Just grateful for each other, really.
Yeah. God, that must fuel the love side of things as well, if you appreciate each other in that kind of way, does it? Yeah.
Yes. And it makes you cross as well, of course. You know. I mean, I wrote a song once, started like this. Show me a marriage that ain't got troubles. I'll show you soap flakes that don't make bubbles. Show me an eye that's never shed a tear, and I will show you 12 months that do not make up a year. 'Cause that's life, and she's a bitch. So on.
I love it. You still got it, yeah. Well, and the songs you're writing now, do any of them come to completion?
No. No, not really. It's difficult without the lyricist.
Yeah. Is it Quiet House?
Somebody got a lyric now in Ireland.
Yeah, okay.
Loads of kids are writing all the time, and grown-ups all the time. I wrote one with Roisin Sheeran, who was a daughter of somebody very important to us in these studios, because I was doing radio for 15 years, week after week, and I loved that too. And Fergus was writing, and Frank Sheeran, and Frank Sheeran's daughter, Roisin, wrote a lyric.
Remind people what that
get an earful
was.
Of this.
Yeah.
Late night. It went out late night, and we did it on Sunday. And then the powers that be, we were a bit bold, a very tiny thing. It was the time of the toilet paper strike. And we put in
a thing. There was a toilet paper strike?
Oh, you see, you're so young, you know nothing. Important things.
Thank you. Yeah.
And we had a piece in that, don't use the Ecclesiastical Journal because it's a bit slippy.
Right.
You see, for use as toilet paper.
Yeah,
people were
no,
tearing
I got,
up
I got
that.
You.
You
yeah,
got
yeah,
that
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, the
yeah.
powers that be thought this was a bit much in Ireland. That was, I mean, can you imagine it? And we were sort of, we used to do the show late night and straight out late night. Then we were put back earlier so they could censor us.
So you were going out live?
We were going out nearly live. We were finishing at about 10 and it was going out at about 10:45.
Okay, so they needed more time to...
Yeah. I still meet grown men with beards and white hair and sticks and walking aids who say, we used to put you under the pillow at 11 o'clock because we were supposed to be asleep.
Yeah. Come here, it strikes me like, so you did a lot of... There's a kind of a narrative about you that you were a comedian and then... you became a more serious actress as time went on. But... it strikes me that it's the making people laugh is what you got the real buzz out of.
Oh, acting the idiot is definitely what it's about.
Yeah.
And they just, oh God, yes. I mean, but on the other hand, most of the plays, most Irish writers, which is what I've done mainly, apart from the sort of poncy English ones, when I was Lady This and Lady That. When I was Lady This and Lady That, I used to pretend I'd married up. I was actually from Tully Cross.
Yeah.
And I met this lord and he married me, because I could never really quite, like, I'm playing this in Irish, not in my own voice, really, my own voice. The rest of them, of course, are all English, like the film. But I couldn't manage that. I'd manage it in Dublin with an Irish puff of us all pretending to be terribly
nice.
And speaking of which, there was the Queen anyway.
So you have invented your own backstory for this one, where you're Irish,
I have. Oh, she's definitely, she's a cleaner, and she married her boyfriend very young from and he was gone to work in Kilburn, as they all did in 1960.
Right.
And so she followed him over. That's what she did. That's what she did.
I love it that they brought you in for a week and you've rewritten the play for them as well. This whole thing is revolving around you now for the week.
Well, as my family as say, should. Oh my, it's all about you. It's all about you.
Yeah. But listen, will you get a great buzz out of doing it?
I'll get a huge buzz. I'll be nervous about, I will naturally, I won't have the usual 5 weeks rehearsal, but I'll get a great buzz of getting on that stage.
Yeah,
I went on it once for a charity concert, sang a song, and just for the size of the place, it's gorgeous, you know. As I say, I did one bigger one in New York.
Yeah.
3,000 seater.
But you know what? When you walk out in this one, the fourth wall will be broken. They'll all just, there'll be a big cheer.
It'll be beautiful. It'll be beautiful.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting. And when I came down then to the
Do you
plaza,
have a good entrance?
No.
I mean theatrical.
I don't. No, no, I'm not coming on as Dame Judy or anything. No.
Okay.
Anyway, I absolutely loathe that in New York when everybody claps, when the star comes on in the middle of the play, you know. Okay, I'm the son and you're the mother, and it's a terribly sad scene.
Why could I not have been the son and you the mother?
Well, nowadays, anything goes.
Okay.
I did that by mistake. But then sort of the star comes on in the middle of the scene and they all start to applaud.
Yeah.
And all the tension and love between the two of us is all gone.
Yeah. You're going to ruin it. You're going to ruin it this week, because the people will go mad. How's life otherwise?
Life is actually not bad now that the summer is here. The winter would drive you to...
Yeah.
Dementation.
And do you still have a fair amount of your cronies left and that kind of thing that you...
They're disappearing. Like Maggie Smith had a wonderful one now that I'm trying to play her now again.
Yeah.
She had a wonderful one. She was reading the paper. There was a play that I did with her in London, and she's reading the paper and said, I see Johnny Moore died. And it's Joanna, oh good, another little birdie, dropped off the twig. More work for me.
Yeah, that's how it is it? It's a tough business, like.
It's very tough.
Yeah.
It's very sad. But, and I wouldn't want to stay too long around, you know.
How old are you now?
I'll be 86 next week, and 1st of June. 1st of June! 1st of June is my birthday!
Okay. And so you'd like people to have the celebrations and the commemorations.
As Kathleen Bean would say, give me a good wake with plenty of songs.
Yeah.
If there's any money left over,
but listen,
have a drink on me.
You're flying, aren't you?
Do you think so?
I think you have the mojo, like. Yeah.
Just think now. And tell me, I have to say,
listen,
everybody's asking
nobody's
you.
Burst
into
song.
They're all asking, but I have to say to you, if I was your mammy.
Yeah.
The two, thank God I'm not.
Yeah.
If I was your mammy, I'd say, don't do that late, late show. What do you think of that? Mind your own business, Rosaline.
You know, it's funny you should say it, right?
Mm.
Now, I probably shouldn't say this, and I did, I kind of skated over this in the last hour. So, there's consternation. I got a call on Friday, right? I won't say from who, very high up in here, right? And they said, could you have a chat? And it seemed a bit kind of awkward, and it said, we'd want to have a chat. It's about the Late Late. And I said, oh yeah, okay. So they said, okay, this is a bit awkward. You can't say this to anyone else or anything. And they said, we heard that you have Rosalind Linehan on Sunday. Is there any way you could sound her out and see if she'd be interested? Relax, guys. We're all good.
It was short
there
run.
There you go. How was that?
It all started on the late. I thought you were really going to show
did
me.
Did I have
show.
You as well, yeah?
You know, I was on the very first one. I told you that. Very first Late Late Show. And Gail's very last
what
one.
What was the first Late Late Show like?
Oh, it was kind of odd because there was me, I was 23 and acting the Egypt like mad. And,
but hang on a minute. In terms of, so before you went on it, what was it going to be like?
For example, I was slightly pregnant. So I was worried about showing because in those days, girls didn't show the bump. And so they said it was at a table and it was a discussion programme.
Okay.
And it was based on an American programme.
Yeah.
And it was me and very heavy duty Hilton Edwards who ran the gate.
Oh, yeah.
And a Professor Leon O'Brien.
And who was he now?
He was Professor of Irish in Galway. So it was heavy duty of me sitting in the middle of them like a big turd, you know.
What did somebody tell me before about a good panel? You need an intellectual, a guy who's going to start a fight, and a dumb blonde who's not a dumb blonde.
Well, there was a dumb blonde, and I tried to find her name, but she wasn't really a dumb blonde. She was so very pretty. I think her name was Olive something. And I think she whirled the wheel afterwards on Bunny Carr's program.
Okay, let's not get too into Olive could still be with us. We're not suggesting anyway she's dumb blonde. You would come in and what, the three you'd sit there for the whole thing and there'd be a...
Yeah, and Gay would sort of say, and then he'd bring in singers and things in the middle of it.
Okay, so there was a variety element at that point.
There was.
And Gay was very young at that point,
wasn't
he?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Nobody would let... He must have been... If I was 23, he was 26. Now, would you let any 26-year-old in charge of that programme nowadays?
They wouldn't let a 26-year-old in charge of anything around here.
No, they wouldn't. They're doing the fourth doctorate at that stage and still living at home.
And come here, did it work the first night?
Well, obviously it did. Yeah. And then I was on at the very last one. So I bookended. I was on the last one, which was in 99, I think. The first one was in 62 and the last one was in 99.
What did you do on the first one then? Did you just like chat on a panel?
Oh, I was mortified because he said, you'd have loved it if you'd have gone mad. He said, and why are you here, Rosaline? And what are you doing, Rosie? And I said, I'm a housewife. He said, you're more than a housewife. I said, not really. I couldn't say a word. And I was trying to hide the bump on my tummy. And
obscene. Yeah. A woman in that condition on television. Was the last one then when you did the Donegal, the story of the girl from Donegal? Was that the last
one?
Yes,
and I did Middle-Aged Blues, which was...
I don't recall that.
That was
that.
Good.
Yeah,
that
go
was
on.
Even
give
better.
Give us a, do you have
middle-aged
a blast of it there?
Blues, well, sort of... I'm just a middle-aged, middle-class lady who's got the middle-aged, middle-class blues. I'm just... And the last line was... I asked him to try Viagra, but it was 10 years too late, trying to get the husband. Yeah. And the husband says to her, do you know what he got me for Christmas? A gift token for Jan of Gods. Anyway.
And listen, people will find the Donegal woman is on YouTube.
And the other bold one, Soap Your You Know What.
Yes.
Is on YouTube.
There are people texting in about all the various plays they saw you down the years. The mother of the Behan, she was absolutely incredible in the role. Siobhan D in Cork. I saw Rosaline in the New Electric Ballroom by Enda Walsh. I'm proud to say one of the most ethereal theatre experiences I've ever had. I'll never forget the magic she created. I'm sorry to hear that now because I saw the revival of it recently.
Left?
Oh, listen. Do you think I'm going to try and stop you? You've all
please,
the time in the world.
Because yesterday I didn't watch You Know What. And I was trying to mixed feelings. I thought, you're not going to sour them. God love them. I feel sorry for them. And then I thought, what would I say if you asked me? And I thought, Kathleen Behan put it absolutely correctly. Can I just do a fraction?
Please.
It's two seconds.
Why are you apologising? This
just
is pure quality. Like.
Here's Kathleen Behan on royalty. I walked out of a church once in England, a Catholic church. The priest stood up on that altar and he said the Queen needed her blessing
The Queen needs our... The Queen does not need our blessing. She might need other things. God love her. Isn't she blessed enough with Buckingham Palace for a home and 200 acres for a back garden? I was born a Fenian, and I hope to die a Fenian. Don't ask me to bless any queens. I don't support queens or kings, prime ministers or Taoiseachs. I only support the workers, and I will until the day I die. That's good stuff, wasn't it? Wasn't she wonderful?
That is fantastic.
That's straight from an interview
is
with
it?
Andy O'Mahony.
No way, that was off the top of her head.
That was came... on that interview,
yeah, she just spoke
that's
that as
on
as,
RTE archive
as it was.
Yeah, that's a girl, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But listen, you're some gal yourself. You certainly are a dame.
Immortal.
So listen, we should plug the bloody show. We've got carried away.
Yes,
the best exotic marigold hotel. It runs at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, May 16th to 20th. Tickets are available from Ticketmaster. Rosalind, can I ask you, even if you don't have a new project, would you come back again quite soon? Because I think people really loved hearing you. And
you mean the Late Late Show?
To tell Rosalind to start a podcast. She's a tonic. Whenever I feel a bit down, I watch the Rainbow Song from the Late Late. She's a cure for anxiety and depression. The blonde that Rosalind mentioned on the first Late Late is Olive White. She married Daphne Du Maurier's
son. She was gorgeous, and she wasn't a dumb blonde by a long shot.
Clearly not. God, yeah. Listen, we're digging it all
she
up here.
She was glorious, girl.
Yeah, Brendan, Rosalind is pure, brilliant,
oh,
and brilliant.
Mammy,
she should be the next presenter of the Late Late. Listen, wait, the betting companies get hold of this now. Yeah. Can I put you on the spot? Would you do it? Would you take it for a year if they offered it?
Listen, I don't buy green bananas.
Well, listen,
the contract would be 4 days, I think.
I can see the headlines tomorrow. New shock Late Late Show presenter is a shoo-in, betting companies.
Don't do it, Brendan. Don't do it.
Well, listen, there's nobody asking me. So, yep. Rosalind Linehan, thank you very much. Will I see you soon?
I'll see you in Seapoint.
What?
But
will I see you? Will you come in and do a few turns for us again soon? Please do.
With Anne.
You're top quality.
Anne
like they don't make them like
myself.
You anymore.
We'll do a double act.
There you go. Okay, the best Marigold Hotel at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, May 16th to 20th. Tickets from Ticketmaster. Rosalind Linehan.
Thank you very, very much.
A star in a world that doesn't really have stars anymore. Okay, I don't want to end this, but we've other people waiting outside.
Okay.
Email Brendan at rte.ie.